This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Crop insurance continues to be a valuable tool for farmers. Jasper County farmer Bill Michael remembers why he decided to purchase crop insurance coverage for his operation.
In 1983, we had a drought. Our corn averaged 15 bushels to acre. Soybeans averaged 20 bushels to acre. That's what opened my eyes to crop insurance. Ever since then, I've had crop insurance every year.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand the value you place on working with a crop insurance provider that understands today's crop insurance options.
Farm Credit, the crop insurance agents have been very helpful. They're very knowledgeable in the different programs, different policies available. They're just a phone call away. If I have a question, I just make a call and the answer is there.
Call Farm Credit today at 800-444-FARM to discover more about a crop insurance plan to fit your farming operation.
Farm Credit has been a big help insurance-wise. They've been a very big help.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand.
Hi, this is Bob Lentz, manager of Montgomery County Farm Bureau. Ford Motor Company has the exclusive offer for Illinois Farm Bureau members. Get a $500 bonus cash savings off a vehicle MSRP towards the purchase or lease of any eligible Ford or Lincoln vehicle. Certain eligibility restrictions apply. See your Ford Lincoln dealer for complete details and qualifications. Join Montgomery County Farm Bureau today for this and other great benefits.
Did the company providing your oxygen supplies go missing, not providing enough supplies, or not showing up for equipment maintenance? Call Michelle's Pharmacy in Carlinville, your local provider of in-home oxygen, concentrators, and portable oxygen. They take the time to understand your needs and concerns. Call Michelle's Pharmacy for your oxygen supplies in Carlinville, 854-4022, or Gillespie 839-9901, or visit michellespharmacy.com.
Hey, it's 9 minutes after six, the DTN general opening call. Look for corn to open 8 to 9 higher, soybeans 16 to 18 higher, wheat 6 to 8 higher. The overnight crude oil market, $2.08 higher at $100.78, while Brent crude, $1.12 higher at $112.46. The February gold contract, $34.40 higher at $16.65.20, while the U.S. dollar index, 0.643 lower at 80.869. On the Chicago Board of Trade Friday, March wheat closed at 6.02 1/4, down 2 3/4. May wheat closed at 6.24 1/4, down 2 3/4. July wheat closed at 6.45 3/4, down 2 1/4. March corn on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 5.99 1/2, down 12. May corn closed at 6.06 1/2, down 11 3/4. July corn closed at 6.12, that was down 11 1/4. January soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 11.60, down 18 1/2. March beans at 11.58 1/4, down 24 1/4. May beans closed at 11.67 3/4, down 24 3/4. January soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 304.80, down 13. March meal at 301.50, down 56. May meal closed at 304.50, down 57. January soybean oil on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 50.20, down 95. March oil at 50.29, down 117. May oil at 50.70, down 116. March oats on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 282.5, down 1 3/4. May oats closed at 283, down 3 1/4. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for Friday's Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with today's grain market report. Illinois country grain prices ended lower on Friday afternoon. The strength in the U.S. dollar and carryover weakness from Thursday's USDA reports pushed grain futures lower. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 12 cents lower at $5.80 to $6 even, while soybean bids were mostly 22 to 25 cents lower at $11.28 to $11.42. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down at 11 cents at 594 to 605. Soybean bids dropped 19 to 25 cents, ranged from 1131 to 1155. And the wheat bids mostly 2 cents lower at 587 to 602. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills report those corn bids down 10 to 12 cents, ranged from 588 to $6. Soybeans declined 23 to 24 cents at 1136 to 1146. And wheat prices, they increased 2 cents at 597 to 598. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 8 to 11 cents weaker at 599 to 606. Soybeans dropped 21 to 24 cents at 1161 to 1168. With new crop wheat prices for July 12 delivery down 2 at 604 to 611. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators place their producer corn bids 9 to 11 cents lower at 616 to 617. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 23 cents with quotations at 1180 to 1181. Soft red winter wheat down 3 at 611 to 612. And Milo winded 12 cents lower at 587 to 588. That is our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
February hogs on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 85.60, up $1.65. April hogs closed at 87.05, up 47. May hogs closed at 94.85, up 65. February cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 122.47, up $1.22. April cattle closed at 126.40, up $1.15. June cattle closed at 125.25, up 75. January feeder cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 150.57, up $1.10. March feeders closed at 152.37, up 57. April feeders closed at 154, up 67. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The closing livestock reports for Friday, January 13th. For the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hogs, barrels, and gilts closed 55 cents lower. Carcass-based price range of 75.5 to 84.5, weighted average of 82.41. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 15,400. Illinois direct brown gilt trade was steady to dollar higher at 56 to 62, with Illinois direct slaughter sows 2 to 4 higher. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 50 to 55. 450 to 550 pounds at 52 to 57. Over 550 pounds at 54 to 58, a few up to 60. Fours under 300 pounds, 32 to 40, and over 300 pounds, 15 to 20. Today's estimated receipts, 325. Thursday's actuals, 875, and for the week, 4,165. Pork carcass cutout, 83.85, and that is down 26 cents. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection, hogs on Friday, 385,000. Saturday, 129,000. Week to date of 2,212,000. And year to date, 4,275,000. Cattle on Friday, 125,000. Saturday, 13,000. Week to date of 653,000. And year to date of 1,213,000. Box beef cutout values were lower on moderate demand and moderate to heavy offerings. Total movement today, 194 fabulas with 102 trim. Choice at 183.12, and that is down $2.63. Select at 175.61, and that is down $1.54. At the Walnut Livestock Auction on Thursday, 347 head sold. Compared to last week, slaughter steers, heifers, and Holstein steers traded steady. Slaughter cows mostly 1 to 2 lower, and slaughter bulls 5 lower in a thin test. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 125 and a quarter to 130 and a half. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s at 113 and a half to 117. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 124.75 to 129 and a quarter. At the Illinois auctions, which are covered, receipts this week of 9,135, which included special sales. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers trade steady to dollar higher. Choice steers range from 125 to 131.75. Choice heifers, 124 to 133.75. Choice Holstein steers traded mostly steady, 113 and a half to 122. Slaughter cows and bulls traded unevenly steady. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service returning you back to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Friday, January Class 3 milk closed at $17.11, down a penny. February milk at $17.08, down 32. For March, $17.39, down 37. January butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Friday closed at $160.75, unchanged. February butter, $161, down a penny. And March butter closed at $165.75. That was unchanged. January non-fat dry milk, $140.5, unchanged. For February, $140, unchanged. For March, $140.5, also unchanged. Spot prices for Class 3 milk, $18.77. For butter, $161.25. And for non-fat dry milk, $145. Wrapping up part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Tuesday, here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Scottville and Greenfield. Corn delivered to Greenfield for January, $6.02. For February, $6.01. Corn delivered to Scottville for January, $5.94. For February, $5.93. Beans delivered to either Greenfield or Scottville for January, $11.42. For February, $11.35. Wheat delivered to Scottville for January, $5.73. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Once again, the pre-opening prices: corn at Greenfield, $6.02, corn at Scottville, $5.94, beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $11.42, wheat at Scottville, $5.73. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Tuesday morning, brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. It's 6:19. Color radar in the Weather Center continuing to show a band of showers at this point, pretty much east of a line from Taylorville to Highland and moving slowly to the east. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Whether you're in municipality, business, or individual, Carlinville Truck Equipment has the Henderson Dump Body, Snowway Plow, or Salt Spreader to fit your needs. Carlinville Truck Equipment has its equipment ready for immediate delivery. Plus, as always, Carlinville Truck still has you covered for all your truck equipment services. Your repair needs, farm bodies, hoist, van bodies, lift gates, service bodies, or any other truck equipment you might need. Call them at 854-6706 or see them on the web at CTEM.
As the weather turns cold and the temperatures drop, your diesel engines work harder than ever. Now is the time to get the diesel fuel that works as hard as your equipment, FS Diesel X Gold. It gives your engines the power and protection they need all winter long. FS Diesel X Gold can be winterized with SureFlow 4, which ensures maximum performance during the coldest winter temperatures. See M&M Service Company for the diesel fuel that gives your engines greater power, protection, and fuel economy. Give your engines FS Diesel X Gold. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Later today, becoming partly cloudy, windy, and colder. Our morning high temperatures in the mid-50s. We will have northwest winds gusting to 35 miles per hour. Tonight, clear and colder, the low in the mid-teens. Tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny and colder, high temperatures in the mid-30s. Your extended forecast for Thursday through Saturday, partly cloudy skies. A slight chance of snow or rain Friday and Friday night. Low temperatures in the upper teens, high temperatures in the mid-30s. The National Weather Service has posted a tornado watch. It will be in effect until 7 o'clock this morning for the counties of Montgomery, Bond, Macoupin, Madison, Clinton, and Fayette. WSMI Weather Watcher, the Lang family of Coffeen, overnight 2/10 of an inch of rain, 6/10 of an inch here at the Weather Center. Right now, west winds at 9 miles per hour, the barometric pressure rising, our temperature 51 degrees. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
Are you disabled or suffering from a work-related injury and putting off contacting an attorney? I'm Pete Drummond, and at Drummond Law, we make it easy for people. Consultation is free, and we have free brochures for workman's compensation and disability that are yours for the asking. Simply come by our office at 703 West Union in Litchfield, call 324-2323, or link to our website by visiting Drummond Law on Facebook.
622, part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. First of all, in our farm news this morning, we'll join U.S. Meat Export Federation Communications Director Joe Sheely. He talks about the newly released red meat export results for November.
November pork exports were record large at more than 217,000 metric tons, valued at nearly $598 million. This boosted exports for the year to more than 2 million metric tons, that's up 18% from the year before, and a value of more than $5.5 billion, which is up 27%. This puts pork export value, which had never reached $5 billion before this year, on pace to approach the $6 billion mark in 2011. Export highlights included a continued remarkable performance in Japan, which has nearly matched its 2008 record for volume and has set a new value record at $1.79 billion. This sets the stage for a year-end export value to Japan that could threaten the $2 billion mark. Moving to the beef side, exports in November were up 4% in volume to more than 105,000 metric tons and up 17% in value to $456 million. For the year, beef exports are 22% higher in volume at about 1.18 million metric tons and up 35% in value to just under $5 billion. Beef exports to Canada were solid in November, keeping it as the leading value destination for 2011 and ensuring a $1 billion performance by year's end. Japan was the leading value destination for U.S. beef in November at more than $85 million. That's up nearly 40% from a year ago. For the year, exports to Japan were up 38% in value to $812 million. And U.S. lamb exports also set a value record for the year at just under $28 million. With 1 month to go, this pushed lamb export value just ahead of the previous record set in 2006. This was driven by strong performance in Mexico and Canada, as well as Central America, the Middle East, and the Caribbean. For a complete summary of these results and the latest on other trade issues, please visit usmef.org.
In other farm news this morning, Cassandra Langley talked to American Soybean Association board member Ron Kindred. He talks about the impact of reduced dredging activities on the Mississippi River and why an efficient transportation system is important to U.S. soybean producers.
Today you can listen to comments from American Soybean Association board member Ron Kindred, who talks about the impact of reduced dredging activities on the Mississippi River and why an efficient transportation system is important to U.S. soybean farmers.
It's very important for us to have a safe and efficient transportation system because half of our soybeans that we grow here in the United States get exported, and to maintain our global competitiveness, it plays a significant role in being able to move our product in a timely and efficient manner. If we do not have an efficient waterway or transportation system, then it increases the basis for farmers, which means it widens the basis, so we receive less for our commodity, and it has a direct impact on the bottom line of our operations.
Lowering the draft level of the river by 1 foot may not sound like a lot, but Kindred says it has a big impact on soybean transportation.
Currently, the draft from Baton Rouge, Louisiana to the Gulf is at 44 feet, which is only down 1 foot from the recommended navigable level. But on a Panamax vessel that is going for export, if we lose 1 foot of draft, it amounts to 75,000 bushels of soybeans or $900,000 in lost opportunity or inefficiencies. So it drives up the cost of our commodity to the buyer, which ultimately has an impact on our exports and our competitiveness worldwide. So it has a direct impact back to our farms as far as cash that we receive for our commodity.
The American Soybean Association is advocating for passage of the Realize America's Maritime Promise Act to protect funding that would allow the lower Mississippi River to remain fully open for commerce.
The RAMP Act, which is Realize America's Maritime Promise, and it represents a path forward for full funding for dredging of our deep draft waterways. It is gaining a lot of momentum in Congress, and I think that it's something that may get enacted. And what it really actually does, it protects the funds that are in the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund. That fund was established to be used to maintain and upgrade our waterway systems and our channels to our ports. So it includes dredging activities. And right now it's collecting like $1.4 billion, and only $700 million of that are available for dredging, and the rest is not used for the purpose it was designed for.
On the WSMI Farm Show Saturday, our guest was farrier Mike Jones of Brighton. He talked about one of his duties, trimming horse hooves. He describes how it's done.
No, you want to trim a horse, on average, I'd say about every 8 weeks. Their foot will grow, and each horse will be a little different, but their foot will grow out, and they'll start to get out of balance, or they'll start to develop other issues that generally will start in the foot. So you want to keep the horse trimmed and balanced about every 8 weeks.
Now I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and shoeing as well. A good shoeing job will last six to eight weeks.
Now, the material a horse's hoof is made out of, is it a lot different than a person's fingernail?
It's similar. The hoof wall itself is similar to the composition of a fingernail. It's a lot of moisture, but yeah, it's similar to the to a person's fingernail.
What sort of tools do you use to trim hooves?
Well, you use what they call hoof nippers. They're a little bigger than fingernail clippers. They're about 14, 15 inches long. And then you use a hoof knife to trim the frog of a horse's foot and the sole. And then you use the rasp and use the rasp to get it level and balanced.
And it has to be that way before you shoe the animal, right?
Yeah, a good trimming job will dictate how good your shoeing job is. So.
Now,
you can't just pick up a horse's foot and put shoes on it. They have to be trimmed and leveled before you can get the shoes to sit on there correctly.
Well, have you found it also that, like you say, you just can't pick up a horse's hoof and put a shoe on it? Sometimes they don't stand still for that, do they?
No, you're absolutely right. The some horses are better than others, but a horse, you can tell when a person spent a lot of time with a horse, because the horse would be pretty docile, and over the years I used to like to work on the young ones that haven't been handled a lot, but as I've gotten older, I pretty well walk away from those. I don't use many restraints. I do have a couple of high-end show horses that have to be tranquilized before they can be shod, but I don't use a lot of physical restraint. I'd rather the horse be trained, so the next time we might not have to use those methods.
Well, I would think that a young horse that hasn't really been handled that much would be tougher to shoe than one that has been.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It depends on the horse's experience the last time he had shoes on as well. If he'd been manhandled and beaten around a lot, he's more apt to be a little rougher to work on this time than he was, initially even. But yeah, a young horse to be trained, you have to take your time with him, you have to allow extra time on your appointments. You don't want to go there and say, "Well, I need to be done in a half an hour." You need to be able to spend the time with the horse, or ideally have the owner spend the time with the horse. So when you come there, you're on a schedule. You can do your job and do it well.
And you probably need to have the owner around while you're shoeing a horse, right?
Yeah, at least the first time or two, you want to make sure the owner's there, because especially when you don't know the horse, until you get to know the horse and know the owner and what's expected, it's always good to have the owner there.
Some other notes in the news on this Tuesday morning, John Nolan, the executive director for the Macoupin County Farm Service Agency office, wants to inform all operators and landowners that the 2012 direct and counter-cyclical and average crop revenue election program sign-up will begin on Monday, the 23rd. Eligible producers receive direct payments at rates established by statute, regardless of market prices. And for 2012, since it is the last year of the 2008 Farm Bill, no advance payments may be requested by program participants. The 2012 DCP and ACRE program sign-up will end on June 1st. The Macoupin County FSA office is conducting sign-up on a first-come, first-served basis. For more information on the DCP and ACRE programs, contact the Macoupin County Farm Service Agency office at 300 Carlinville Plaza or phone 854-2626. Sherry Jamanko, the state executive director for the Illinois Farm Service Agency, reminds Illinois livestock owners who had disaster-related losses in 2011 to visit their local Farm Service Agency office before the 30th to file an application for payment through the Livestock Indemnity Program. That program provides assistance to eligible livestock owners and contract growers for eligible livestock deaths in excess of normal mortality due to adverse weather, including losses due to floods, blizzards, disease, wildfires, extreme heat, and cold. Her phone number, 217-241-6600, extension 201. Once again, that's for Sherry Jamanko, the FSA State Executive Director. USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service Chief David White has announced that the cutoff date for the current Conservation Stewardship Program ranking period has been extended to the 27th. Producers who maintain a high level of conservation on their land and agree to adopt higher levels of stewardship are eligible for CSP payments. The CSP is offered in all 50 states, tribal lands, and the Pacific and Caribbean areas through continuous signups. Administered by the NRCS, the CSP provides many conservation benefits, including improved water and soil quality, enhanced wildlife habitat, and conservation activities. Producers are encouraged to apply for the CSP throughout the year to be considered for current and future application ranking periods. Those who apply by the 27th may be eligible for current available funding. Eligible lands include cropland, pasture land, rangeland, and non-industrial forest land. United States Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says biofuels are playing a growing role in the civilian aircraft and airline industry and the military. Vilsack spoke Monday at a business roundtable meeting at Chicago-based Boeing Company. He says the U.S. Department of Agriculture encourages biofuels research to help reduce the nation's dependence on foreign oil and to lay a solid foundation for a strong rural economy. He says USDA has invested more than $80 million in research focused on developing aviation biofuels. This year, two commercial airlines flew their first domestic flights powered by biofuels, and USDA, with the Department of Energy and the United States Navy, are investing up to $510 million during the next 3 years to produce advanced aviation and marine biofuels to power military and commercial transportation. Once again, the DTN general opening call for today, corn 8 to 9 higher, beans 16 to 18 higher, wheat 6 to 8 higher. The overnight crude oil market, $2.08 higher at $100.78, while Brent crude $1.12 higher at $112.46. The February gold contract, $34.40 higher at $16.65.20, and the dollar index, 0.643 lower at 80.869. A full day of trading on the Board of Trade today, and we'll have updates beginning with the opening commodity markets at 9:32 this morning from Sorrell's Farm Supply in Raymond. Part two of the Morning Farm Show on this Tuesday brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.